Morning. We have, welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomaston. It's good to see all of you here. We have the honor, mother and baby, which there is one out front and there's one over here. If you didn't get one last week, we didn't have enough to put them into the, but we'd like you to, it's for Caroline's place. So please donate for that. Hymn of Adoration is number 246, not number 236. So change of four around there. The Missions and Evangelism dinner, and Easter good. Someone like to speak on that? Brenda?
People are welcome to come.
Hold it, you gotta talk into the mic here.
We can still use candy for the goodie bags, and if people want to come help, we'd love to have you join us Saturday from 4 to 6.
Okay. While you have the mic in your hand, you could tell us about the Blue Rose.
My older son Tom and his wife Libby had a baby. His name is Henry Thomas, and he's like over 6 pounds now, so they're all doing well.
Orchid class. I know you're all excited about that one now. Orchid class. It really looked pretty. Peggy's going to come back and do that on Saturday the 13th. And does anybody but Mr. Friedland have something they would like to say right now, please?
Go ahead. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. So earlier this week, I asked for prayers for a huge opportunity. And it's not legal yet. Nothing's done. Am I getting a thumbs up or a thumbs down? I'm not getting any face. Okay. But you're potentially looking at the new owner of Birth Partners Doulas LLC starting midsummer.
Also, if any of your children or grandchildren are having babies, please let me know so I can put a rosebud on the piano. Because we want to keep that tradition open. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, and as I told you before, we for Friday gift Crafty Fridays, we have been gifted with a huge amount of fabric, and we are giving it away for people who are doing crafts or who have anything like that. We have one group, not in our church, but we have a group that's making dresses for little girls in Africa. And now we have a lot of yarn. So if you're doing any crafts that would need fabric or yarn, please come downstairs to the Potter's House. We have 4 bins of fabric. We have lots of yarn. And go through them for whatever crafty thing that you want to do. We want these to go to good places. Thank you.
Cool. And there is a board meeting after in the gallery.
We have a very urgent need for more food for our snack packs or money to buy some food. I'm all set right now with snacks, but I really need some more lunch items so that I can actually prepare them. We have about 1 week's worth of bags left, so if we want to continue to minister to these families that are taking them, we need some more donations, please. Thanks.
Great, thank you. Anything else anyone else would like to do for us? Jay?
Gosh, I hate microphones.
Good morning, everyone. The pastoral search committee folks went on to give you guys an update. And I pray that you guys have been receptive to a couple of things I'm going to mention this morning. So don't worry, Jess, I won't go off script too much. But we've been meeting pretty much every Tuesday night. Can you guys all hear me? Can you hear me without this?
No. Use the mic.
Okay. So we've been meeting pretty much every Tuesday night, and things have been going along pretty well. We've been trying to go through profiles and interview people and see if we can find somebody that we think would be a real good fit for our church. So we ask that you folks would continue to pray, that we would have unity, which we have, and that when we eventually make a recommendation and that you folks eventually vote on the person, that we would have unanimity again. But I wanted to go a little bit deeper with an update this morning. I wore this t-shirt this morning, not because everything's in the wash, but we talked a lot in that committee about why do we even exist at the Covenant Church of Thomaston? What's our mission and what's our purpose? And we feel that we want to return to what Jesus commanded all of us in the last chapter of Matthew, and that is what's often called the Great Commission. And that is to make disciples, to baptize new believers, and to teach. And I'm wearing this t-shirt because I want to ask you folks if you can visualize people coming forward up here to this baptismal font, or Nystrom's, or pool in town, it's not important where, as new believers being baptized. And it may be a son or daughter, or a brother or husband that you've been praying for years. It may be your next door neighbor. It may be somebody at the bank. It may be somebody from Patty's place. But I'm wearing this t-shirt because I think I want to see, and I hope that you want to see, young adults and older adults coming forth as new believers. And we talked about how some things probably need to change. We're not tasked with making changes, but we've talked about the unchurched and how to make church more attractive to the unchurched. Because quite frankly, the unchurched aren't attracted to everything we do here. And that's one of the reasons why we're not full this morning. So we don't mean changing the gospel of Jesus one iota. I mean, the gospel doesn't change, and Jesus is attractive. But if we can attract the unchurched and come here and hear the good news of the forgiveness of their sins through Christ, and we can see people coming up here to be baptized, not just as infants, but as adult believers, then I think we can all get on board with, hey, you know what? There's some change. That change makes me a little uncomfortable, but that and eternity are worth it. So as we've been reviewing profiles and interviewing people, we are looking for someone who absolutely has the desire to see the unchurched come to Christ. So we may not wind up making Jesus famous in Africa or China or Latin America, but hopefully we'll make him a little bit more famous here in time. Hey, thanks for coming out.
Let us stand now for our introit number 242.
Christ, how best.
Join me now in our call to worship. Come, out of the darkness of doubt.
We come seeking the light.
Open your hearts to receive God's healing love.
Lord, help us to see you and to feel your loving presence. Father, please be seated.
Our New Testament reading this morning is in Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 14a and then skipping over to 36 through 41. You'll find that if you want to follow along on page 885 in the Pew Bible. This is Peter addressing the crowd on Pentecost. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made Jesus both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. The epistle lesson is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. If you invoke the Father as the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
going to give this a shot. Lose my voice. We started with scripture this morning from Luke. Jesus is walking along. And he runs into Cleopas, and someone they name Anonymous. Anonymous is you or I. What things, he asks. The things that happened to Jesus of Nazareth, they answered. The man was a prophet. He was considered by God and all the people to be powerful in every way. Everything that he said and everything he did, our chief priests and rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and he was crucified. In my mind, this is totally where I'm coming from, and I have been on drugs, so I'll give you a pre-warning. Jesus is wrapped up and he's sealed inside the cave. It is dark. It is cold. It is black. It's black as coal. It's pitch black. There's not a sound to be heard. And soon outside, the world, for just a moment, holds its breath in anticipation of one of God's greatest moments. People will unwittingly freeze in motion. The birds will pause their singing. The bees will stop their buzzing. Water will cease to flow, and leaves will pause in midair, all for a second in time in respect of Jesus. And in my mind, I can just see the angels outside guarding his cave since the Lord was laid inside. They're serious, and they're focused. They were probably given this duty because they were the best. But as the moment drew closer, unable to hold back their excitement. For an amazing moment was about to happen. I can just see one of them start to grin and softly start to sing, "Here comes the sun." And the other just about adds in the doo-doo-doo-doos. You know, "Here comes the sun," they say. And they just start to do it in harmony. Doo-doo-doo-doo. And that excitement starts, and the explosion of energy and the light inside the cave. Life. Jesus is alive again. I can just picture him full of energy, pushing the rock away, bursting out into the first light at the moment of a beautiful day. Because he has risen. Christ has died. Christ is risen. And Christ will come again. Do you believe it? You can say it, but do you believe it? In your heart. I can see him burst by the angels singing the song, "On the Road Again." Can't wait to get on the road again. Excited and focused, he is risen, alive and ready to go to work. I had to add that because they just had it on Facebook that Willie Nelson played for Litchfield Jail on the green for free in 1970. So, on the road again. Well, maybe it didn't exactly happen that way. There was a cave, Jesus was there, and there were a couple of angels. But you get my point. For many of us, the seriousness and the excitement of Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday have already disappeared into overeating, leftovers, candy, and the repetitive wish, when is it going to stop raining? And when is spring going to get here? Gone is the excitement, the hallelujahs, the wahoos. Gone is the focus, the joy, and the anticipation. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Believe it. Now you have to live it. That's the hard part. You can say all you want and smile at church, but you got to live it. This isn't a TV show or a production put on for your enjoyment. Easter's over. Faith attaches you to Christ. You can become attached to Christ. Not only is Christ in you, you are in him. You're already there. You don't have to have a life independent from your identity in Christ. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. 2 Sundays ago, we did celebrate Easter. In today's scripture of 24, Luke, that I was reading, two women go up to the tomb of the resurrected morning. And they're greeted by the two men dressed in dazzling white who told them that Christ was no longer there. Why? Because he had risen. They went back to the 11 and told them about their experience. But the disciples did not believe them because, as the Bible says, their words seemed to be more like nonsense. But that's not all that takes place on the resurrection day. The very next passage in the chapter tells a story of two men who meet Jesus on the road to Emmaus. They carry on a conversation with him and along the road, and when they arrived at Emmaus, they had supper together. Well, at the supper table, Jesus takes the bread, gives them thanks, and he broke it, and he began to give it to them. And their eyes were opened. We say that every month. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. Then the Bible says that they got up and returned once to Jerusalem. When they get there, they found the 11 and the others still awake and talking about the things that had taken place that day. And then these two tell of their own experience with the risen Christ and how they finally recognized him when he broke the bread. Easter is a season of joy. Christians around the world saying, I know that my Redeemer lives, not because of a grave cut from limestone containing a linen shroud with no body. No, Christians saying, I know my believer lives because this Jesus, who was crucified, secured in death by professional Roman soldiers, showed himself alive with a resurrected, glorified body. The New Testament lists 13 times when the crucified Jesus showed up alive with the apostles to more than 500 at one time in 1 Corinthians 15 and to the apostle Paul. As Christians, we know the story of Jesus, his love for us. He created the world. He created each and every one of us. He created human beings to be in a relationship of love and friendship with their creator. God's love demands that human beings, men, women, and children, be given free will to choose or reject his love. Satan offered Adam and Eve an opportunity to be their own God. They chose to disobey God, and Satan gained a momentary victory by bringing death into the world. The Bible tells us that God himself came to rescue and restore Adam and Eve to a place of harmony, forgiveness, and peace through the sacrifice of one of his beloved creatures. For without shedding of blood, there could be no forgiveness. Hebrews 9. For it is the blood that makes atonement for one's sin. Leviticus 17. Dallas Willard, in his book, The Divine Conspiracy, writes, this holy creator slipped into the world through the back roads, the outlying districts of one of the least important places on earth. He lived for 30 years among them, socially insignificant fishermen and ordinary citizens. He grew up in a home of a carpenter in a little Middle Eastern village of Nazareth. After his father died, he became the man of the house. He helped his mother raise the rest of his family. Jesus stepped into the public arena to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He backed his words with a perfect life. He healed every kind of sickness and disease. He raised the dead to life. Enormous crowds followed him. People trampled one another. They ripped roofs off of houses to gain access to him in Matthew. He offered forgiveness and proclaimed that he and the Creator were one and the same. The invisible had become the visible. Colossians 1. He was acting as God on earth because he was, he is, and he always will be. It's estimated that Emmaus is about 7 miles from Jerusalem, but the distance may not matter, as the road to Emmaus is alive for all of us. Jesus meets all of us in our life journey, encourages us to read the Bible, discuss and connect and discover the old and the new, encourages us to read and to talk and to share, to connect the dots, allow his words to open our eyes. Jesus expects us to continue his work here on earth with joy and excitement found on that dusty Emmaus road. After Jesus explained why he had to suffer and showed them that God himself is co-suffering God, the two travelers, Cleopas and Anonymous, don't want to leave his presence and are inviting him to stay for dinner. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread. That's so important to take in. He took the bread and he gave thanks. He broke it. He asked, were our hearts not burning within us while he talked to us on the road? And when didn't he open the scripture to us? It's a beautiful passage. Luke uses most of the identical words which describe Jesus' Last Supper with the 12. Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began and gave it to them. The risen Christ is now breaking bread with us. This signifies the kingdom of God is for us. We are included in the new covenant. We are not second-hand citizens. In fact, we are not even second stringers. We are on the A-team. We are in the family. We are valued. We are loved. And he has a plan and a purpose for our lives too. They asked each other, were our hearts not burning with us while we talked with us on that road and opened the scripture to us? I know that many of you feel the same way. Your hearts are burning. The light of Christ shines in your souls and is healing you and sustaining you. When you get a glimpse of God's self-giving, co-suffering love, you'll have that experience. If for some reason the joy isn't there for you, the story is old. Your hopes are dwindling. Could your expectations outreach your reality with the Lord? You need to let him in. Let him open your eyes again. Let today be your walk on Emmaus. Climb out of the darkness. Leave here today filled and excited to be on the road again with Jesus. God wants your hearts to be burning with his self-giving, co-suffering love. He wants you to receive his love. Because that's why he suffered. He suffered in order to make a way for you to encounter and to receive his love. And he doesn't stop there. He wants all of creation, everyone and everything, to receive his love. How do we convince others of the goodness and the love of God? Once our hearts are burning with love, how do we share this with other people? I want to close with a thought from Scottish theologian George MacDonald, who lived about 200 years ago. The quote is consistent with our scripture. In his remarks, MacDonald is giving advice how to talk to others who are far from Christ. Maybe you have a family member who doesn't know Christ. Maybe you work with unbelievers. Maybe your neighbors are atheists or agnostic. How do we talk with people in our circle about the love of God in such a way that might draw them closer instead of pushing them away? Hear this incredible insight about the best way to approach others when our own hearts are burning with his love. Do not try to convince them of anything by argument. If you succeed, it would do no good. Opinion is all that can result from argument. An opinion concerning God, even the right opinion, is of little value when it comes to knowing God. Talk to people, not of opinion, but talk of the God that you love, the beautiful, the strong, the true, the patient, the forgiving, and the loving. Let them feel God through your enthusiasm for him. Our hearts were burning. You can't prove to anyone that there is a God who could be proved, could not be worth proving. Make their thoughts dwell on a God worth having. Wake the notion of God in such a way that will draw them to wish that there were such a God. Set in their eyes a God worth believing in, a God like the Son of God. They will go out and look and see if such a God might be found. They will call upon him, and the God who is will hear and answer. George MacDonald,
comes the sun. Here comes the sun, and I say it's all right.
Thank you, Gary, for that invitation, and Nick, thank you. And now we have the privilege and the joy of going to our risen Savior in prayer. Join with me. Oh, our gracious Heavenly Father, loving God, Redeemer and friend, we do stand in awe of who you are, Lord, and what you have done, what you accomplished, Lord, on the cross for us, because you love us so much. And Lord, I just ask that as you were on the shore watching your beloved disciples struggling to bring in a catch of fish, and then when they recognized who you were, ran to you, oh Lord, may we run to you. May we truly see who you are and what you've done for us, and may we run to you, Lord God. And Lord, I just pray that as we may struggle with failures and fears and feelings that we are beyond redemption, that you will remind us, Lord, of what you did for Peter on that shore. Lord, how you redeemed him. While he denied you three times, you restored him three times. Lord, may we know deep within our hearts that you offer that to us. And then may we take that charge to feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Lord, help us to care for our brothers and sisters, to love one another well, to have open eyes, Lord, to see their hurts and their needs, Lord, so that we can be a comfort. Lord, we do that well here in our church. Help us to do it even better, and help us to extend that to our community, Lord God, so that when we see people in need and people who are hurting, that we will remember the charge that you laid upon Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Help us, Lord, to do that. And Lord, as we think of the needs, the pressing concerns within our church body, Lord, we think of those who are suffering, who are hurting, who are struggling to be well. Lord, we think of Rogene LaPlante, Lord God, that you would just reach her, Lord, with your presence, that she would know your presence, Lord God, and be comforted by your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, for Karen O'Connell, that she is on the path to recovery and doing so much better. And we continue to pray for Jim Bothroyd and for Gina's mom, Elaine, as she is going through a tough time, Lord, and for Gina's cousin, Jill, dealing with the sudden loss of her husband. Lord, we continue to pray for Carolyn Stratman, and we ask, Lord, that you would be with the Anticolis, Lord, at this time, that they would know your presence. Lord, encourage Dawn Roix as she is embarking on something new, that you would give her, Lord, a confidence in you, that she would follow you and know that you have good plans for her, Lord. Plans not to harm her, but to prosper her and to give her a hope and a future. And we claim that, Lord, for Dawn. We pray for Nick's friend Casey, who is struggling postoperatively. And Lord, we pray for Millie's good friend Peggy Knox, who is going through such a hard time, oh God. We ask that you would bring healing and health to her. Lord Jesus, we continue to pray for our search committee, and we thank you for the good work that they're doing, and we just ask, Lord God, that you would move in such a powerful way that the candidate that you have in mind will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he has a new home here in Thomaston. And I just pray that you will be preparing our congregation
to receive that individual. And we thank you, Lord, for Gary and the tireless amount of time that he's put into this church, Lord. And we pray for healing for him. And, Lord, for all of those who are suffering during this highly allergic season, we ask, oh God, that you will restore our health and our strength. Thank you, Father, that we can come to you with our concerns, that you hear us and that you love us. And we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Those are beautiful flowers, aren't they?
Spring has come. The joy will let you back. Father God, with the joy of spring, the joy of sunshine, and the joy of you in our hearts, we lift you up this day, and we thank you that we are able to give back to you, to share our lives with you, and to be on a journey with you. It's in your name that we gather, in your name we pray. Amen.
Let's make Jesus famous and join us and sing wherever I go.
Sing wherever I go.
All my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go.
All my life,
all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go. God is for me, he's not against me.
remember to greet those around you and join us downstairs for something to eat and share and talk. And grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Go in his peace.